Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dabreski. And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast.
Yes. The Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Enjoy yourself some Marvin Sees for a minute.
That your love never did before, girl. Baby, let me be. Your candy liquor, girl. I just wanna be.
Marvin Sees can make you a happy individual. Love some Marvin Sees. All right, so my name is Rob Sanders. This is the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I did send the link to the two gentlemen tonight. I'm sure they will be here momentarily. The problem is with this software that we use where we can stream to YouTube and to Facebook at the same time. If I don't start like right at 9:30, 9:32-ish, it will bump the show. So, with that, I have to get started. Now, as you can see, being the one who does all the engineering on this show, you know, that's just the way that it is. I do have two co-hosts who contribute to the program, but not on the engineering front. I gathered them because they do have some good stuff they can bring to the show. Of course, we will introduce them in a moment. Shout out to the folks watching online. Lots of YouTube folks. Kyle, Sackmeat211T. I don't know who you are. Bo Weevil, Jamie Newman. Lisa. Lisa's a longtime friend of the show, man. So appreciate Lisa and Gwen. But Carolina Jackpot and the Comrade will be joining me here in a moment. We're going to discuss tonight the South Carolina Gamecocks and what the metrics from ESPN's FPI think about them. It's going to piss off some folks. It really is. But hey, that's the reality that it is. But I tell you what, since we are waiting on our co-host here, well, there's Carolina Jackpot. Let's get him into the mix as we add, of course, one of my favorite people who actually called into my show today. He is, of course, my friend and yours. Welcome in, Kale Hall. Kale, what's up, buddy?
Stop. What's up?
Kale's fighting with
his
dogs.
Second favorite night of the week. Hey, yeah, I called into the show today. It's great that I had time to do it. Wish I had more time to do it. Rob, do you know... shut up! Do you know Gamecock Central Podcaster? Do you know a Wes Mitchell?
I've heard of him. Heard of him, yeah.
Him and this other guy that's doing this Gamecock Central podcast, holy shit, man. These are the two most boring son of a bitches I've ever seen in my life.
Well, and I'm not...
Man, I can do better.
Getting people that... there's a lot of people that put out podcasts that they're just not very entertaining. And they're just
they are, not. And here's my thing. You know, I'm a Gamecock fan, you know, and no, I make no bones about it. Shut up! And I have to listen to Clemson radio up here all the time. But, I mean, at least, if I was doing this here, and I can say about them, at least I seem excited about what the fuck they're talking about. And at least I seem to have some passion about it. They're just sitting here like, and this other guy is just like his damn vanilla ice cream can be. Lord have mercy.
pretty bad.
I got in the wrong place at the wrong time. I got in the wrong damn line of work, but it is what it is. But this right here, this shit. I mean, what we're doing is 10 times better. This garbage. That's what belongs on that trash can.
Exactly. Well, let's welcome in the third member of our show.
It's stupid.
It is stupid, Kale. We know. But we have to welcome in the third member of our show. Of course, he's got a hell of a story he's going to share with us tonight. He is the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is good to be here. I'm sorry. We had a little drama tonight. Luckily, it's just me in the car. But I was rear-ended tonight. Rear-ended. I think it was a guy who was on Facebook at the time. I know a guy who actually Facebooks as he drives.
Was he paying his employees?
No, different guy. Different guy.
$70 a day.
Different guy.
Different guy. Got it.
It's a Citadel grad. But luckily I have a big ass, SUV, so the damage was minimal to my car. Her car was pretty torn up. But it's a pain, and now as I was driving back, when I back up on my car, there's a sensor that goes off if you're too close to something. Well, that sensor now is on like 24/7 when you back up. For the whole purpose of it. So that's an issue.
It's kind of skipping
a little bit too.
I added a new soundbite to our show, and it's courtesy of our buddy Carolina Jackpot. And for you tonight, and every time you get in your car, you will now hear these prophetic words.
Vote for life. Fuck it.
Oh my God. I was going through some old Kale Hall clips today, and that was from after the national championship game where Clemson just throat fucked Alabama. Kale's only comment was this.
Vote for life. Fuck it.
Holy shit, Kale. I can't tell you.
That was a bad night.
It was a bad night, and normally.
What do you say? I mean,
it was pretty funny. Fuck my life. Fuck it.
Your one says I.
Was that after you beat Nebraska? I can't remember when I said that.
That was after the Alabama game.
I was a part of in terms of being part of the rivalry. The first one was the hardest one for me because I fell asleep. Okay, in my couch with Bama with the lead, with the game in hand, it seemed like. And I dozed off and I woke up. You wake up like when you an unplanned nap, whatever, you don't know how you are, what day it is. And I woke up and slowly, like piecing together that I fell asleep during the game.
Right.
And the broadcast going off the TV, and all I could see was a quick image of Deshaun Watson celebrating, and the announcer goes, "There it is, Clemson National Champions." And I went, "What in the hell?" And I went to the bathroom, I put water on my face, but what? Put it on ESPN and Sports inside.
Vote for life.
And I was so angry because I felt it was because of me. I fell asleep.
I remember, I have stories about both of those. or all your wins like that. Yeah, 2017, 16, whatever it was, national championship. I stayed up for all that debauchery, as is well known. Other wins, the win over LSU where you came from behind in the
Peach Bowl,
Chick-fil-A/Peach Bowl, whatever it was. Then I went to sleep at halftime and LSU was up by like 2 scores. I was like, fuck it. And I laid down, and then I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was watching Sports Center, like da 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 da, and they were showing the scores below, and I saw Clemson 25, LSU 24. I'm like, fuck! Ah! Ah! And I went peed, and I went back to sleep because I was like, all right, fuck it, they won. And then in 1981. when you win the national championship, when y'all won that dusty ass thing, the first time you cheated with all those damn players I damn bought off. And my grandma and everybody else in the family is Clemson fans. Right, so I was spending the night with my grandma that night. I don't remember if it was New Year's night or what, but I spent the night with her, and I remember her and my uncle and somebody else. They had went down to the Greenville Spartanburg Airport in the middle of the damn night to meet these fucking rednecks. When they got off the damn plane, it was probably the first time been on a goddamn plane in their whole damn life. They probably didn't know what it damn was. In the middle of the night, and I just stayed there and then slept on the couch because I'm like, oh, no, they asked me, do I want to go? I'm like 6 years old at the time. I'm like, fuck no, I don't want to go.
Vote for life.
I want to go. And so they went down there to welcome the band of fools, the band of cheating Charlie Pell, Danny Ford fools back from Miami, where they just won the damn national championship. My God almighty.
Vote for life.
And I was 6 years old, and I was just still like astounded and sick.
Vote for life.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I'm sorry. I'll stop playing it, but holy fucking shit. That is the best clip ever. And Kale's face when he said it, it literally was like, it was one of the most satisfying videos I've ever watched.
Vote for life.
It was just...
Fuck it.
Fuck it. He's exasperated.
And by the way, I've got... I think I'm going to go ahead and share this now. Since we're talking about Kale a little bit here. Kale was talking on the other night about... He was like, you know what? Boom's going to do this. Boom's going to do that. I just want to share just a piece of this here for you with Kale. And this is from a video that Kale did. And I know that the comrade will ride that Will Muschamp penis until he's 90. But this little exchange here that Kale had is one of the most honest moments in Gamecock history. This is after South Carolina got kicked in the dick by North Carolina. This little piece of clip here. Let's see. Try this.
Bullshit. I mean, I could tell that some of that play calling today was 110% Mr. Boomchamp Muschamp. It was his shit. Lisa Gale, sister, do you still think Boom is great? Obviously, I don't. I'm sitting on here bitching about him. So, I mean, I think you answered your own question with that. I mean, I answered your question with just whatever. No, I don't think he's great. I mean, we're sitting here, you know, right before several stupid conservative calls that I saw on fourth down and two times in that game. Two times in that fucking game, South Carolina punched the fucking football in the third and fourth quarter. You know, when they could have a fourth and two, you have a very good chance of getting a first fucking down. And South Carolina could have extended drives, ran out some clock. You were up fucking 20-9. You were up 20-9. Same thing as last year when we played Tennessee at home. They was up on us 20-9. How the hell did they lose that damn ball game? Well, they didn't manage the damn clock very well. Guess what? Tonight, Boomchamp, clock management, piss poor. I mean, you know, if you were a first-year fucking head coach, you know, whatever. I mean, I might be able to deal with that, but you're not a first-year head coach. You've been here for 4 years. You were at Florida fucking them up for 4 years before us. So you've been a head coach for like 8 years, son. I mean, you shouldn't be making these piss poor time management decisions. You just shouldn't. It just shouldn't happen.
There you go. Then, Kale, I have to ask, Kale, do you
true freshman.
You're still railing here.
Child.
Let me
child.
I have to ask though, are you
cigarettes.
You still feel the same way?
Madison,
let me see
stupid.
If I can.
You covered him up with blitz.
Shut up, Kale.
Off,
hey, you shut up. You don't like it. Figure it out.
That?
taking a minute because of the way I queued it up. But I you know what? The reality is that you should shut your goddamn cake hole.
We haven't done anything. We haven't done anything to redeem that.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? Hold on. You should be listening to that. That should be, ladies and gentlemen, that should be blaring from the speakers at Williams-Brice. All of them. Exactly. That's what should be blaring at the speakers at Williams-Brice Stadium. Thank into you. The tailgates. You, sir, have been a coach for 4 years. You were fucking Florida up. You fucked us for 4 years. You have 8 years as a head coach. That is the most honest assessment of Will Muschamp fucking ever. Fucking ever. And yet, hey, one third of our team is like, fuck it. He needs fucking 20 years.
Let me just say it and make it clear. Let me just say this as plain as I can. Head coaches of football teams who suck, who lose fucking games they shouldn't, and lose more games they fucking win, they get fucking fired. They get fucking fired. Why are we fucking around with this? It makes no sense. Why is it even a damn debate? I don't know. Shit.
No, Kale. I mean, it's just something that
I was going back, and I'm just watching, and I made some videos. I made a preseason Tennessee video, a hype video.
Today that's half the reason that I brought this up.
Everybody, the more and more I think about it, and I just started going back and watching some of my old shit from last year, and watching some stuff about damn Boom and what the fuck. What is it going to do to fucking improve anything this year? Other than I don't know. I mean, well, it's like I don't know what else he can do to improve his status. He has had 4 years. He's had every damn offensive coordinator under the sun. I mean, he changes them out like he changes his damn underwear. 1 year, he changed them twice because he sharded in them. I mean, and then we still are right back where we started. We're supposed to go with a high-tempo offense. 1 year, Byron McClendon. Oh, this offense is we're going to be high-tempo this year, guys. It's going to be all gas, no brakes. I mean, guess what? We had brakes. Why? Because he puts his fucking mind into it. He has to meddle in shit.
Fuck the life.
Fuck with it, right? Like, just stay out of it. Stay out of the offensive game plan because you don't know what you're doing. And you don't belong around it. It's kind of like with Dabo. I mean, Dabo didn't fuck with that defensive game plan at Clemson. Because he doesn't know what he's going to do it. Let Brent Venables handle it. And I doubt he has much of any, probably if any, input on it. Guess what? It works pretty damn well. Why don't you do the damn same thing? Because I can tell if Brian McClendon wanted to run damn up-tempo offense last year, we're scoring 6 points against Texas A&M. Guess what? That's not damn up-tempo. There's no damn up-tempo about that. You could score more than 6 points against Texas A&M. I don't care how good they are if you run them up-tempo. He had his hand in that shit. He had his hand in it. He's messing in the damn cookie jar. Stay out of the damn cookie jar. Pretend like the damn cookie jar is a rat trap. Keep your fucking damn dirty balls out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much right.
Vote for life. Fuck it.
Sorry, Kale. The main reason that I brought this up tonight, though, was because of the video on the Carolina Jackpot channel. Kale puts out this hype video that he's talking about, and he goes, and he actually said, I think Muschamp's figured out the shit from last year where the shit that happened at Tennessee is not going to fucking happen this year. I'm like, was Kale fucking drinking at work today? God damn, because I go back and look, and I found, Kale sent me a couple of things today, but I go back and look from last year. And I found stuff from the Appalachian State game. Kale actually called it 2 weeks beforehand and said, there's no way this motherfucker's going to beat Appalachian State. He said we're going to lose in 2 weeks by two touchdowns to App State is what he said. And all the Gamecock fans.
I was wrong.
You were wrong, but they still lost. But everybody and their brother in that thing that was a Gamecock fan was like, "Nah, we're not losing to Appalachian State. Fuck, we're not losing to them." Will Muschamp has a history of losing to teams he has no fucking business losing to. Simple as that. The comrade will sit here and go, "Oh, but we went 9-4. Oh, massage my head, coach." That's what the comrade will give us, and he'll talk to us about Bobo and everything else and how everything is just so absolutely wonderful in the land of Gamecock.
That was honestly the worst year. 2017 was honestly the worst year we could have had if we could have just lost a couple of those games.
Yeah.
And went 7-6 against some shitty competition, and they could have exposed the turd for what it really was. Then we probably would not be in this situation right now.
That's a good point.
He probably would be a damn defensive coordinator at North Greenville College, or possibly Mercer. I don't know. In that disease.
Lingerie league.
No, he wouldn't be here.
Lingerie league. That's where he'd be.
We'd be chilling with Jeff Brom or somebody like that, and probably winning 9 or 10 games and making some damn plans for that Citrus Bowl. But as it were, we ain't. So we gotta go back and draw them.
You want to respond to what Kale said in the video there, comrade, or what Kale said tonight?
Well,
because
a couple things. Now that's kind of for the new people in here. Okay, let's kind of backtrack a little bit. I am a big Will Muschamp supporter. Now, kind of background story, when Will Muschamp got fired from Florida, and those of you have heard this before, I don't give a shit, you hear it again. When he got fired from Florida, I was on the record on this podcast but before Kale, and I said, man, I think wherever he goes next, he'll be successful. It's too bad the timing is off, and he couldn't be Spurrier's successor. That was back when Spurrier was riding high. We thought Spurrier would be here for a while. Turns out he wasn't. And we got Will Muschamp, who was our third choice, I believe, okay? And people were upset that we got Muschamp, and I believe that we lucked out. That Herman and Kirby Smart turned us down. Well, Kirby Smart wanted to take a job, and then Georgia stepped in. And I said we lucked out. We got the right man for the job. He'd be successful. That being said, okay, now last year I was not happy. And a lot of what Kale said is true. I was mad because our offensive game plan in some games, or in a lot of the games, was horrible. And I wanted to blame McClendon, but then Muschamp kind of, you know, spoke up on radio shows and said that, you know, for that Missouri game that he kind of told McClendon what to do. And I'm like, why the hell are you telling, you know, get your ass out the offense. Now, so I was not pleased with Muschamp last year. I was very pissed off last year. That being said, okay, I do see some light at the end of the tunnel. And Mike Bobo is the most experienced OC that Will Muschamp has had. Okay,
at
the college level. Okay?
Fuck it.
And I think because of that, and because of their friendship, I think it's understood between the two of them. Maybe I'm wrong, we'll find out. That it's understood between the two of them that Bobo's going to run the offense and Will Muschamp ain't going to do shit about it. He's going to sit over there and listen to Tony Robbins' CDs like Dabo does for the whole damn game. Okay? And I think if that happens, I think you're going to see a difference. Now, the question is it too late? Okay, he's going to put himself in a hole now on the hot seat. Makes it harder to recruit. I don't know. But I do have some – so when we play this year, I have some hope this year. Okay? I have some hope that offense will be a lot better this year and that our defense will be better this year and we'll be a better team this year. We're going to be more organized. We're going to play better. And I think this could be the start of the Will Muschamp comeback. And you know, it's kind of like I can see in 25 years from now on SC Network and the special they have on. They're kind of like, if you watch the special on the ACC Network, the class that saved Coach K. Ever see that? You know, because Coach K was struggling at Duke, the class that saved Coach K. It might be the year that saved Coach Boom, you know? And they'll kind of zero in on Muschamp Drive by the stadium and say, at one time, Muschamp was in the hot seat. People, and they might even play, because Cale Hall will be really famous by then. They might play Cale Hall's clip right there, you know?
Yeah.
But the class that saved him, Mike Bobo and Marshawn Lloyd,
yeah,
saved him.
This is the only thing they're going to hear from Cale Hall.
This could be it here.
Vote
this
alive.
Could be it. This could be it. I do have a name, though. Someone asked earlier about a coach I'd like to see replace Muschamp if it gets to that point. By the way, Will Muschamp, I think Cale agrees with too. He's not getting fired at the end of this year, regardless of what happens. Okay, unless he has some kind of scandal. So he's going to coach this year, if we have a year, and next year. And then at that point, he could be gone there too. But I haven't seen a name for Cale Hall. I want to get Cale Hall's opinion on a possible replacement for Muschamp and see if he likes him. We can do that later on the show if we want to. But I have a name for Cale Hall. I want to get his gut reaction.
Why don't we save that for a moment? Let's thank our sponsors, Callaway's Bar and Grill.
Asked me on here. Somebody who was it that asked? They asked me on the Comrade who we would like to see replace Will Muschamp.
I got a name for you, though.
Okay. Well, I the name off the top of my head, Luke Fickell, head coach, University of Cincinnati Bearcats. I don't have anybody else. Young, full of energy. I've taken a program that was shitty and turned it around. It's an offensive-minded guy. He's an Ohio State guy. Not that that's anything great, okay? But they know how to win. Got a winning culture. And I think he can do some good things here. I don't really have any other whatever in mind. So you can throw at me what you want to.
You
want to
go ahead and give him the name you got there, Mike.
Okay, here's the name I'm going to throw at you. He currently coaches the Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier. What do you think?
I like that. Hey, you know what? I like that. And didn't Billy Napier before, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they offer him the head coaching job at Mississippi State before they offered the Pirate, and he turned it down?
I think he wants the Gamecock job. I think he was unjustly fired by Dabo, and I think his revenge is to come back here and kick his ass.
I don't buy that, but here is what I do buy. He was not unjustly fired by Dabo Swinney.
Unjustly fired.
So go fuck yourself with all that. I'm trying to make a point to your comment, and all you want to do is run your dick sucker over there.
Before you go on, we must talk about truth. Unjustly fired.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Here's what you do. Why don't you write up a blog piece on why he was unjustly fired and post it at RobinComrade.com.
He never was dominating the game in the line of scrimmage and then threw a wide receiver pass before in a rivalry game. So right there.
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ.
Clemson's problem when they were losing back in the late 2000s to better teams wasn't their offense. It was the damn defense.
Clemson was losing at the line of scrimmage.
That's when things really turned around. I mean, they were winning the same number of games with Chad Morrison, with them Billy Napier.
Right.
Now, I mentioned this in the Gamecock report.
Goddamn!
And I had some Gamecock fans upset because they were like, I don't want a Clemson guy. Like, first of all, he's not a Clemson guy. Okay, he was on their staff briefly, and he was unjustly fired, and I think he hates Dabo now. That's my personal opinion. He's a Furman, I believe. Furman, is he a Furman guy? What's Furman?
There's been all kind of guys who split, he was a Furman.
He's not a Clemson guy, okay?
Right.
That's not what he is. And I think that he would, it's not like him and Dabo are buddies, right?
The comrade has that in his head. Well, he hates Dabo, and he's going to sit there and think about fucking Dabo over.
He's not like He's not sucking a Dabo tea like the dude from UNC Charlotte.
Okay, but let me.
He's not like that dude.
God damn it.
He's a guy that probably, let's say he hates Dabo, but I'm sure he would like to come to Carolina.
He's not intimidated by Dabo down. Sweeney.
Yeah. So yeah. That's all I'm saying. Bearcat fans are going to hear the name and think, oh, they think Orange Paws. No.
Well, here is what. Here is why you want Napier. First of all, he's a good young coach, but he recruits this area, and he can get into a lot of places with his recruiting past. And I think that that would be an absolutely great hire. But the reality is that South Carolina's administration is dumb as fuck, and they want to go for another fucking retread. And a lot of them will have.
You don't know that.
Really?
You don't know.
Really? Okay.
Administration. You don't know that. We got a new president. Don't say you don't know.
You will go with a new. You will go with another retread. That is the South Carolina way.
I don't know that Napier hates Dabo. Then you pull that stuff. You don't know crap.
Okay.
I'm closer than you are.
Okay. No. South Carolina has a history of hiring retreads.
No. Our administration is different now, though. We have a different president.
Breaking news. First of all, Steve Branham wants to know, can we stop fussing long enough to answer a question on Clemson's first game? Sir, I appreciate you joining us on the show this evening, and I will answer your question for you. Their first game is on September the 12th.
Muschamp was the only person I hired. It was a damn retread.
Steve Spurrier's not a retread.
Lou Holtz
is not a retread.
Very damn successful at.
Okay, but he was successful somewhere else, hence the term retread.
Steve Spurrier won out and went out as a damn winner at Florida. They're not retreads. I mean, they were successful.
They won somewhere else, Cale.
Yeah, I get you. Retread. That's the only one. We don't have a history of it. We have a history that we need to, or a bad habit that happened once.
Your last three coaches weren't exactly that way.
Yeah, we have a history of it.
My wife just texted in.
You need to rephrase your shit.
Okay, I'll rephrase my shit. Fine. You hire a lot of retreads. Karen texts me from across the hall and says, "You are saying fuck a lot." Thanks for listening to the show, Karen.
You are. Don't say thanks. You're listening closely.
Thanks for listening fucking closely, Karen. What's so funny is that my wife, we goof about this, but she is a smart-ass woman. Got like a crazy-ass education, and her husband says fuck a lot on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Bless her heart. Anyway,
her name really is Karen, right?
Yeah, her name really is Karen. Now Jordan says, of course her name is Karen. She's not a cunty Karen. Yeah,
she's not that Karen. She gets I don't blame her. Like, when, I'm Facebook friends with her because she likes Lonnie Buddy Wolf. But she doesn't like the Karen. The Karen stuff. I don't blame her. If my name was Karen, too, I'd be like, that's not what I'm like. But no.
Yeah,
her name is Karen, but she's not Karen-like.
She's not cunty Karen.
She doesn't act like a Karen. Her name's
not
Karen.
Steve Branham says he's fixing to block us. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry that you don't like our cussing and fussing, and this show sucks.
Okay. Well,
sir,
Steve.
You should go to ClemsonTigers.com. They've got the schedule for you.
He doesn't know where Clemson plays the first game yet. I don't know where you could find that in 2020.
I don't know how he stumbled onto this show.
Only come to the show to get the schedule. We have the schedule.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do is give you the schedule.
We're the only ones who see the schedule.
Yeah.
We know how to find it. Here.
Yeah, we're breaking the schedule for you. Holy shit. I do want to talk a little bit about South Carolina's FPI because that was put out today by ESPN. And we'll take some questions tonight and phone calls later on. We do have a couple of sponsors, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. Go by and get yourself some good food. Play some retro video games. Socially distance if you want, or if you want to go in, they do that. CallawaysBarAndGrill.com. You can find out more. Also, find them on Facebook. They're doing a big school supplies drive on Saturday. So if you want to drop some school supplies off, help out some of the young folks that are around the West Columbia community, feel free to do that. Okay? So you can go by and drop off a bag of pencils or whatever. We also have DNC Trucking and Transport. The comrade's had a shitty day. Someone's done fucked his car up. But he still has to read the truth segment from DNC Trucking and Transport. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. I wish that a man with the character that Dabo Sweeney has to run my football program. Las Vegas has my team projected to win 3 games. I am okay with this level of awful. Will Muschamp is my hero. I am okay with my team being a shithole. Betty Wilson hates me. I am the reason Cal Hall pisses in the sink. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. I'm laughing because while we're reading the sponsors, Kale's up there sharing pizza with his dog.
That's all right.
That's all right. Kale's up there like, his dog's like looking at him like, hey, fucker, give me some pizza. And Kale's like, yeah, here. Give him a piece of pizza. Anyway, I want to get into the ESPN FPI tonight for South Carolina because the over and under for Las Vegas is at 3. And looking at ESPN's FPI, it makes you, and of course, it's like a metric system that they use. By the way, I want to put this out there for Gamecock fans. Because Gamecock fans constantly bitch about strength of schedule and everything else. According to ESPN's FPI, your schedule is ranked 39th out of 76 teams that are left. So you have, in according to the FPI, the 39th toughest schedule in the country. So I don't want to hear Gamecock fans
that's
bitching.
Arkansas and Missouri got it up to them shout.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you, that's what it says right now. So I just want to make sure that we put that out there because I know the first thing that's going to come out of the comrade's mouth is, well, our schedule is absolutely the toughest schedule in the history of mankind. Jesus wrote this schedule, and he made it hard on the Gamecocks. That's what the comrade will come at us.
We don't play any of the real elite teams. Alabama's last year.
Well, you've got LSU. They just won the national title. That's pretty fucking elite.
Listen, you can believe me or not, but I have a source somewhere that says originally the Gamecocks were supposed to open at LSU for week one, and LSU used their might and said, we do not want the Gamecocks in week one. We don't want any part of them in week one. We need more time
to
get our offense together and our defense together, and they gave Mississippi State instead. That's LSU flexed their muscles afraid of the Gamecocks in week one. So.
Jesus Christ. Peter Norgut? Peter Norgut's. Can you read the comment from Peter Norgut Kale?
If you look at it, most of the matchups are East versus West first week. That could be absolutely correct.
Do you want to respond to Peter's comment there, Kale? Do you see Peter's comment that I have highlighted on the screen there?
Peter's
right there on the screen. Can you see it? Give me to read it to you, Kale.
Make fun of your dog, Kale. See, that's kind of crap right there. I wouldn't go for that. Make fun of
your
dog.
Oh, this guy's an idiot. This one's been trolling all day. Just delete him and block the fucker.
Damn it. All right. Well, looking at the South Carolina schedule, according to the FPI, I have it right here in front of me. 39.
I'm going to give him a fucking internet scissor kick.
Oh, Jesus. Projected wins, 3.7. Projected losses, 6.3. Yeah. But to Tennessee, they say that the Gamecocks have a 57% chance of winning that game. Las Vegas has already put out the line that it's at 1 point. We're going to go game by game here. We're going to see if it's you think the percentage is too high or too low, gentlemen. Kale, 57% win. You think that's too high or too low? for Tennessee.
About right.
About right. That's Comrade, about right. What you got?
Yep. So we're winning that game.
Winning that game. Okay. Comrade, what you got? Too high or too low?
I mean, that's about right. It's a toss-up game. I mean, what I like about the game is one of the games that we need to win to have a good season.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to beat Tennessee. Mm. And so I like the fact that week one kind of puts a little more importance on it. Like, there's one of the games that if the game could have a good season, we'll look back and see, hey, you took care of Tennessee. And it's one of the teams, too, we had way better than
them. It's a big game for them, too.
Yeah.
As I played what they were saying on Tater Radio yesterday morning, Tennessee's been barking a lot. They've been barking a lot. Let's see if they're ready to bite.
I think it's unrealistic. Yeah. It's unrealistic to expect the Gamecocks year in and year out to be the best team in the East, okay? But I think it's realistic to have the expectations that we should be better than Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. You know, we should consistently be, at worst, the third best team in the East, okay?
Right.
And some years, maybe we can get up there and get to Atlanta. But so we have to make sure we're better than Tennessee and Missouri and Kentucky. And, of course, Vanderbilt, that's not really that hard. Only Clemson has a losing record against them all the time.
All right.
So
let's
the
move.
Tennessee game is big because it's a kind of a status game in terms of where you are, you know, and where we need to be. So it's a big game to open the season up with.
All right. Up next is Florida. They give you a 13% chance to win that game on October the 3rd. You gentlemen knock this out. Too high or too low? We'll start with you, Kale. I'm going to run over here for a second.
I think that's too low. South Carolina, the past couple of times we've been down there, it's been a close game. Winning in 2014, and actually a game that fired Will Muschamp, if I'm not mistaken. The last two times I've been down there, it's been fairly close. So last year, even though the final score was kind of lopsided, that was a close game too. South Carolina played them a lot better than what you would think, looking at their record and where they end up in bowl games, the New Year's Six Bowl. So I say that's too low. 13% snap. Too low.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think it's quite a toss-up game. I won't put in the toss-up area, but it's definitely a game the Gamecocks can win. We've seen the last couple of years, the Gamecocks been right there. And I think maybe this year we get a ball to bounce their way, we win the game maybe. But I would put about 38%, 40% chance for the Gamecocks.
It's not a toss-up game, but if we win it, it's not like a shock-the-world Georgia type win from last year either.
It's not that. I mean, it's not going to – I agree there too. We actually do.
It's a game where if Keith Jackson were still around and were calling games, he would say, "Whoa, Nelly." That's about as far as it goes with that.
Of all the games this year, obviously, I don't want to be Tennessee to you, but I would really want to be Florida this year, just because I'm sick of the last two seasons. I felt like we should have won both the games, to be honest with you. And I feel like the football gods owe us one. I think they may kind of show up this year against the Gators and beat them. But I'm about 38% though.
Yeah, so you've got them a little bit higher than that. I don't see that happening. But I'm not very high on South Carolina this season, just judging by some of the work I've done as far as what they've got coming back. And
you don't say.
Yeah. Look, Kale.
We are
you don't say.
Since we've started show.
Give me a defibrillator.
Since we've started doing this show, Kale, since long before you joined the show with us, I have been correct on South Carolina's season
within one game. If you don't remember, I was in one of the first episodes you ever did, so don't tell me about what you did before you first started, because I was around.
Well, if you were around, you would know that I'm a fucking realist, and I've got your Gamecocks pretty much right at where they generally are every year, except the year they went 9-4 when they beat a bunch of fucking dumpster fires, which is why you still have your coach.
Well, I'm a never realist too, by God.
My God. Fuck my life.
Fuck. Fuck.
Damn it. Anyway. I don't even know where to go from there. You know, threw me off, Kale. Up next, they got a game, road game at Vanderbilt. They give the Gamecocks a 78% chance to win that game. Too high or too low, Kale?
That's about right. I mean, there's always a chance that Vanderbilt wins. I mean, God, I mean, we haven't lost to them since George W. Bush was president. So, and it's time, and they may find a win somewhere, but and they've lost, like, dude, I was talking about in the video today, they lost the best defensive player. He decided to bitch out because of coronavirus, and three offensive linemen bitched out because of coronavirus. And then they're replacing the whole fucking offense anyway. And now you got to replace them with a whole bunch of new. They're going to suck bad. We win that one. That's too low. We win that. That's 95%. Gamecocks, woo, all the way.
Comrade, are you too high or too low with Vandy?
Comrade.
If we lose to Vanderbilt, I will come on the podcast that next day. And I will insist that Will Muschamp is fired that next day. Okay? I will be in the fire Muschamp bandwagon forever if we lose Vanderbilt. That being said, it's not going to happen because we're too damn good. That's why.
Oh, Jesus
too damn
Christ.
Good. 98.9%.
Somebody off.
Yeah.
98.9%.
I think the Gamecocks win that game unless everybody's hurt.
Yeah, well, thanks, Rob.
So, yeah.
I appreciate that, Rob. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your confidence.
Well, look, everybody that's listening to this show that is not a fan of the Gamecocks knows that what I'm saying is absolutely right down
actually,
the middle.
That's not true. There are people in this chat room who are not Gamecock fans who are talking about us going 6-4 this year. And I'm not even sure I'm willing to go 6-4 this year to the Gamecock team. But there's non-Gamecock fans in here saying I can see him going 6-4. So don't lie. There are people who are not Gamecock fans who see the genius of Mike Bobo.
Gee, this is. I feel like I'm swimming in a sea of stupidity.
Am I lying?
Every time you talk. I don't know.
I think it was Tim Russell who said he could see 6-4 this year. I think it was Tim Russell. If I'm wrong, Tim Russell, I apologize. But I thought I saw Tim Russell say he could see Gamecocks going 6-4 this
year. Well, Tim Russell, his comment right here says South Carolina loses to Vandy. I don't think that Tim Russell said South Carolina loses to Vandy but goes fucking 6-4. Get your shit together, comrade.
I think Tim Russell is saying if that happens, he's gone for the season. I don't think he's predicting that.
Okay, fair enough. Huffing paint.
Over on YouTube, Noah Sheldon 500 says losing to
Vanderbilt is a program-defining loss. I don't know what happened to Kale there. He may have muted himself. Poor Kale. Let's move along here and keep the flow going. Up next, they've got a home game with Auburn. The Gamecocks have a 20% chance to win that game with Auburn. Interesting, and the comrade and I have talked about this before. They're always one of those teams, and comrade, I think you'll go with me on this. They could go 7-3, or they could go freaking 4-6. You never really know with Auburn. Right, Mike?
Yeah, and you know, Auburn's like kind of, this is one of the, if we have a play of the full season, I hope we do. This is one of the games, too, I've got circled because as a Gamecock, Steven Garcia's last game, pretty much the starter, where Steve Spurrier kind of showed his age a little bit in that game. And that game was not a very good Auburn team. We lost to them then. So I would love to be Auburn to get that monkey off our back. I mean, in terms of, you know, if you could circle which game you want to win the most, obviously it'd be Georgia, because I love beating Georgia. It's funny to watch them bitch. But after Georgia, I would probably say Auburn is on that list. You know, if I'm ranking which games I want to win the most this year, it'd probably be Georgia, then Auburn, then LSU. Probably my three games I want the most to win. But, yeah, I think we could. I mean, Bo Nix, you know, he can be really good. And you know, our luck, he'll probably be freaking John Elway the day we play him. But and he can be really bad. So if he has one of his bad days, one of his days where he struggles, and the Gamecocks kind of force some turnovers, I think the Gamecocks will beat him. What's the percent again in the game?
Percentage of that game is at 20% for the Gamecocks to get a home win.
That's a little low. No. I would say it's kind of, I kind of view this as the Florida game, like 38%, 40%, same thing. I mean, it's not a toss-up game, because I think Auburn, if we play it 10 times, Auburn's going to win, you know, a majority of the games. But I would go 38% in that range.
Kale, you say that's too low. You think it should be more than 20%? Kale?
No, Auburn, no, not that good. I mean, they're a decent team. Not that good, though. I mean, defensively, lost a lot up front. I mean, they don't have a running game to speak of. Good quarterback, decent receivers. I think they'll score some points this year with the ex-Arkansas coach coming in to take care of the offense, as long as he's allowed to do it. But I don't. They're nothing special. They ain't nothing special about it. And that's 20%. That's a slap in the face. That's a toss-up, in my opinion. It's a high time, South Carolina. It's high time, and I don't care if Will Muschamp's down, talent's down, everybody's down on South Carolina. It's high time South Carolina beats Auburn. And it's high time they beat Texas fucking A&M, okay? Get these fucking monkeys off your damn back.
All right, well,
Bottom line. How many times you got to lose these motherfuckers? I mean, what? Hell, they haven't beat Auburn since them, I don't think them light bulb was invented. The last time South Carolina beat Auburn, we've ever beat something once at all, period. So, let's get them done.
I'm on the camp that 20% is about right. Up next, the matchup at LSU. They give the Gamecocks an 8% chance to win that game. That should be 0.8%. LSU's going to beat the fuck out of South Carolina. Watch. That shit's going to happen on eight different levels.
All you damn Tater shits, all you Tater shits out there, all you Alabama shits, all you fuckers, all you want to do is talk shit about LSU. Now they're not going to be able to go. They're going to take such a step back. They're going to lose to Florida.
Yeah, well,
they're going to lose to Auburn. They might lose to Texas A&M. But an 8%, no. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's 0.8. It should be 0.8. Less than 1% chance.
That's about a 25% chance.
Kale, on no fucking planet is Will Muschamp going to go into fucking Baton Rouge and have a 1-4 shot to beat LSU.
They don't even know who their damn quarterback is and what the fuck he can damn do.
I don't know who their quarterback is, but he's better than any quarterback you've got on your roster.
That damn Joe Brady, who's the one who won a damn national championship for him last year, because he just spoke to Joe Burrow and spoke the damn same language. Something happened, all the stars fell into alignment, and everything was great, but you don't have any of that this year. That's not like damn Tennessee. talking shit about how they're going to be better than them 8-5 team that beat up a damn basketball school in the Gator Bowl with Juwan Jennings and Marcus Callaway when they don't have even one of those son of bitches back. Well, they don't have damn Joe Burrow, Joe Brady back. We're going to be better. We're going to be just as good.
They
ain't going to be just as damn good.
They do have Jamar Chase, though, the guy that won, like, the best receiver in the country award last year. I mean, that's a pretty good player.
That's fucking great. That's fucking great. Who's going to throw him the damn ball? Somebody like my big old fat ass out there, I can't throw him the damn ball. You got to have somebody with a damn arm. You got to have a gunner. Somebody with some damn talent.
Okay. Well, Kale,
Kale,
why don't you just fucking hang your balls out there and say, hey, we're going to go into Baton Rouge and win. You're fucking saying they're not going to do shit.
They are afraid of us.
You think LSU is afraid of you? Oh, slow down. Conrad said they're afraid. The LSU is afraid of them. Afraid of what?
My Taurus.
Holy fucking shit!
And when I'm playing week one,
Jesus Christ, we're not even a week into the season yet. Now see what's happened. Coronavirus has thrown these guys off. Normally they're getting jacked up like they were last year. Well, I've got the comrade saying we're going to beat North Carolina by 2 touchdowns or 3 scores is what he said. We're winning by 3 scores, and they went and got kicked in the dick. There is so much optimism with Gamecock fans.
I also predict the Kentucky. Kentucky, and you bet me, and you lost. You lost your eyebrows and your hair.
I did, but you know what? The reality is that I didn't sit here and say last year.
One-sided.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I can admit when I'm wrong. You said South Carolina was going to go 8-4. Are you going to hang your balls out there with that this year?
Sometimes I'm wrong. Okay?
Yeah, well, you're wrong. You're generally wrong a lot with South Carolina.
We did go 8-4. 8 losses, 4 wins.
Jesus fucking Christ, Kale. Jonathan says he's got $100, Kale, if you want to bet him on that game. Fine LSU fan for checking out the show.
On what game?
The LSU game. He said he'll bet you $100.
On what game?
The LSU game.
I don't take people's money.
Hot damn.
I don't take money from folks like that.
Vote for life.
Fuck it. It should be a lot. That should be a lot worse than that. They're going to get throat punched at LSU. The next game on the schedule is a home game with Texas A&M.
You didn't ask me.
I didn't ask you because I figured you would just tell us dumb shit. But go ahead and tell us how you can beat LSU. Because there's LSU fans watching the show. They enjoy some comedy. So please tell us how Will Muschamp's going to beat LSU.
First of all.
Now drunk right now.
Listen. You know what? The game I want to win the most this year is the LSU game. Want to know why? Because I will troll the hell out of Clemson fans all damn year long, beat LSU. What I'm going to do is put up a little scoreboard and says, name a team who's beaten LSU in 2020. Okay? Not Clemson. 0-1. Gamecocks 1-0. Now, do I think we're going to win? No. Okay? My source is probably a bad source, okay?
Yeah,
I don't think it probably happened.
Your source is Mike from Columbia. That's your fucking source.
My source may not be correct in the LSU change of schedule. I don't know, but he's a source I have. And he could be right. I just give my sources, okay? And I don't report. It's like two sources. I couldn't get a second source on it, so this is out there. I'm going to say 8% is a little bit low, though. I'm going to go with 17.5%.
Jesus fucking Christ.
There's a chance.
There's no chance.
Probably not. Probably not.
Kirby Smart's not coaching them, so there you go with that. If you're watching the show on YouTube or later on Facebook, there's a nice little message there. South Carolina has never won the Bonham Trophy. The Bonham Trophy is given in the matchup with Texas A&M. That thing has been with Texas A&M since they've been in the league. South Carolina has never won it. The ESPN's FPI has the... gives the South Carolina Gamecocks a 34% chance to win that game at home against Texas A&M. Too low or too high, Kale?
That's too low. Home game.
Nobody's going to fucking be there.
Not really. I'm not just, huh?
Nobody's going to be there. It's like fucking 8,000 fans. It's not going to be a real home game.
It's a game. Okay, it's a game in a stadium out in the middle of nowhere. I'm just saying, Texas A&M, talented quarterback, a couple of talented receivers, suspect defense. I'm just, I ain't buying into them. Jimbo Fisher, good head coach. Looked like a great head coach at Florida State for a few years there, riding off Bobby Bowden's coattails. But I think that the past few years, I think that, he's been kind of exposed. He really ain't that good. He's just kind of about average. And A&M, they have average seasons. They start out really good, and they fizzle out. When's this game? What's the date on it?
The date on that game is November the 7th.
First game of the election.
Right about the time they start to suck every year. Just when they like them. I think that's just about when it's time to get them. South Carolina getting their first win ever of these son of bitches this year. Whatever percentage you got it at, it's not right. It's not correct. It's too high or too low. It's too low. Whatever. So, we're winning that game.
All right, comrade, are you too high or too low on that, man?
A little bit low. I kind of view this as the Florida Auburn game. That 38%, 40% range. Not quite a toss up, okay? But I think the Gamecocks can win if they play well. They got to play well, and I'm going to play a little bit below. They're top level, and I think the game comes to Florida. So I'll put in that 38-40% range. I think the Florida game, the Auburn game, and the A&M game were all kind of similar chances for the Gamecocks.
Yeah, they're all losses.
They're going to be in all three games, and maybe they can get one of those three right there.
I'm not sure on the percentage on this game, but I can give you 100%. 100% sure that this is going to happen. That is going to be November the 7th. That will be when Clemson is playing at Notre Dame. Myself and friend of the program, Positive Mike, will be at that game in South Bend. It is 100% chance that Cale Hall will be jerking off to Notre Dame porn and jacked out of his jaws crazy as an Irish fan, hoping that Notre Dame gets the big upset over Clemson. He may not watch the South Carolina game because that may ruin his heart.
Player.
I know I'm right.
I'll be beating that damn thing mad green, buddy.
Mad green. I will say this, though, not to get a topic, though, but I'm a little bit worried.
Green as fuck.
I'm a little bit worried that Clemson, it's already easy as hell, their schedule. I'm worried that Notre Dame may not play this season. I can see them stepping back because of their issues they're having with their
coronavirus.
The coronavirus and the fact that their students are going to go back online now, which isn't a big deal at most schools, but I think their president does not like the idea that if the kids can't take classes on campus to be football. So something to watch for. I think it's a good sign if your school does not have kids on campus. I think it's easier to play football season. It may look bad. It doesn't look great. But it's easier to keep the football team virus-free if you don't have students on campus. Going to do an online class and everything. But Notre Dame may not want that look. But the one thing I'm worried about is seeing Notre Dame maybe possibly pulling out and Clemson getting their, easier. Maybe Clemson probably play a Citadel twice then, going Clemson.
Moving on, because the show, we're not talking about Clemson tonight.
Shout out over on YouTube, Peter Norgett said, "Smile, Kale. It's not healthy staying angry all the time." Dude, the only thing I'm angry about, Peter, is the fact you're not here all the time.
Exactly.
I mean, my God, why don't you show up more often? God damn.
Stop
being a damn stranger.
Exactly.
Spread the love around a little bit more.
The next game on the schedule is at Ole Miss. At Ole Miss, November the 14th. The FPI has the Gamecocks at a 37% chance to win that game. I think that's too low. I think it's about a 50-50 matchup because Ole Miss has no defense. And I don't think the South Carolina offense is going to be really good, but I just think it's a toss-up game. I don't think Ole Miss is going to be really, really good this year, in my opinion. But I think it's about a 50-45% chance. But I think 37% chance is just a tad low. I still think the Gamecocks lose, but I think that they have a better chance than 37%. Mike, what do you think, buddy? Too high or too low?
Hold on. We got 37% chance of winning the game. Is that what it's saying?
That's what it's saying at Ole Miss. I said it's too low.
That's retarded.
That's fucking stupid as
hell.
Look, man, I'm reading it from the FBI. I didn't make this up. I didn't write it, motherfucker. It's right here.
I know. That's fucking dumb. I'm just saying it's dumb as hell. I would get the Gamecocks a 60% chance of winning. 60%.
So you think you think that they just made an error, and that it should be okay.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I would go 62.5%.
Okay, Kale, what do you think, man? Too high or too low?
That's too low. That's classic. It's all up. It all depends. We could end up losing that game if these Ole Miss players by that time have bought into Lane Kiffin's scheme.
Right.
I mean, good offensive mind, grant you. Team defense, utter shit show. They have none. They will have problems stopping South Carolina by that time of season, because ours will be going into Mike Bobo's system, and they'll have that under their belt pretty quickly. I think that's a pretty easy system to learn. But yeah, I don't know. It all depends. That's another one. It's going to depend on injuries and who's available to play at that point. That one will just come out of who got ever worked it more. I mean, it really will. That's a toss-up. 30-something percent, blow it out your damn diddy hole. No.
Up next is the Missouri game at home. 71% chance to win that game. I don't know if by the time that this game happens, I think that Coach Drinkwitz will have his stuff together, but I still think the Gamecocks most likely pick up that win against Mizzou. This is the game I want, as just so I can fuck with the comrade for another year. I want the Gamecocks to it's like the second game on the schedule that I want the Gamecocks to drop. But I just think that Coach Drinkwitz is going to have – he'll have his system intact, but I think 70% is about right.
Why is everybody I'll answer this one. Why is everybody – and I'm not trying to defend them. It's not like I'm a fan of them or anything like that. Why is everybody so shit on Missouri? I mean, they're not terrible. I mean, they've got some decent returning players. I mean, God, what the fuck? Everybody wants to shit on them. I guarantee you that this guy will do a better job as head coach than the last jabroni they had over there.
Well, that's not really saying much, but yeah. You're probably right on that. But are you cool with the 70% though for the Gamecocks picking up the win, Kale?
Oh no, goddamn, it's more like 85.
Okay. Kale defends them, but fuck it, it's 85. Comrade, 70%, too low or too high?
I think 70 is perfect. I think that's good.
Final two games of the season.
That sounds like they're
Thanksgiving weekend. Normally, South Carolina is getting their dick kicked in by Clemson. This year, they get their dick kicked in by Georgia. They give the Gamecocks a 14% chance to win that game at home. Georgia's going to beat the shit out of you this year. But go ahead and tell us how you have a better chance than 14%, Kale.
Well, I mean, it was probably about 4-5% last year.
I looked it up. It was 11% last year. What was it? 11. It was 11% going into that game last year.
And it's what this year? 14.
14.
Yeah, I mean math and history and common sense dictates that's too low. I mean, just the absolute right, the series. Hey, you don't know what George is going to be. You don't know if Jamie Newman is going to buy into the system. You don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be down there. You don't know if JT is going to. My thing is, neither one of them got. Somebody going to end up not playing. Somebody's going to end up mad. Somebody's going to end up sitting them year out. Because, I think they're both pretty talented. Both of them, one of them probably thinks they're talented, more talented than the other one. And that's just too many goddamn good quarterbacks, supposedly, to be in one damn room at one time. So somebody will end up transferring out. And probably JT, because he's got more eligibility left. So that's Jamie Newman's thing to run. Let's see, the old Wake Forest quarterback. That doesn't scare me all that much. And it's not a scheme that George is normally used to running. They do run that thing with the quarterback just kind of controlling the game, the kind of ball control thing. It's like 3 yards and a pile of dust. Jamie Newman's going to want to take off running a little bit. That's going to kind of muddy stuff up a bit. So, yeah, I think Gamecocks will take advantage of that. Give me like a 40% chance of South Carolina winning at home against Georgia. A little bit more talent up front on both lines of scrimmage. But other than that, I think we've got some good football minds around us. And I think we could definitely take them down if the situation presents itself.
All right, comrade, too low or too high, man?
A little low. I'm kind of more in that 18% range. We'll bump up a little bit more. But 14 is not bad. I mean, that makes sense. But it'll be tough to do it this year. They'll be a little bit pissed and a little bit pissy. You never know. You never know.
Final game of the season for the Gamecocks. And you guys look directly in the camera, because when I give you this percentage.
YouTube, Tony Jackson says Zeus will be unstoppable. Yeah. But, he's been stoppable the past two seasons. So why is he all of a sudden now going to be unstoppable?
Because Javon Kinlaw's not playing for the South Carolina Gamecocks anymore?
I don't make a damn shit. Javon Kinlaw didn't play for any of the other goddamn 11 teams he played against, and he still didn't have no damn success against them. Javon Kinlaw didn't play for them damn Bonqueers.
Okay.
Anyway.
Final game of the season, and I know this is going to piss off both of you. On the road at Kentucky, December the 5th, gentlemen, they give South Carolina a 37% chance to win the game. Kentucky's going to beat the shit out of you. But, Cale, tell us why that's too low. Because I know you're, goddamn, it's too low. I can hear you now.
What's the percent on that one?
37%.
What's the percent on that one?
37%.
That's some damn gang. This is dumb. That's another toss-up. 50%. Kentucky, shitty quarterback, shitty wide receivers, running back position, mediocre to okay. I guess they got a three-headed monster, but most of the yards they rushed for were against shitty teams. They sure didn't do it against us with the 7 points they scored last year. That there should have been nothing. Not sold on them. That's a toss-up. Would not be surprised to see the Gamecocks win a close one there, because the games we've won in Lexington have been close. So I say we pull it off there in a close one, just judging from the trajectory of the series. But you're telling me 37%. My numbers tell me something way different, my friend.
Mike, what do you got, man?
I got this as a toss-up game. I think it's 50-50. Maybe 52-48 Gamecocks. I think it's a game we need to win. But it's one of the toss-up games. It's like Tennessee. I don't get the whole 7%. They're not. No, I know you love Kentucky, but it's a toss-up game. Toss it up.
Kentucky has won, like, what, 6 out of the last 10 against South Carolina. So
he's a Kentucky. Yeah, but, oh, God.
Doesn't mean shit, though. It's this year.
I just threw out a stat. Why are you so upset?
About the first three of those were upsets.
Okay. Whatever. I'm just saying, you guys have a problem with Kentucky. I don't know why you get so upset. You shouldn't get upset.
Vote for life.
We own them all the time.
Says the Kentucky Thumb Zoom Tater.
Do you want to take calls tonight or not, Kale? Make up your mind. You want to take some phone calls?
Sure.
Okay, let's see here. Of course, you can join us on the show at 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. If you want to call into the show, I know, what was his name? Hodge was wanting to call. I was asking about the number earlier. There's the number for you, Mr. Hodge, sir. Call in the program if you want to join us today here on the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. If you would like to join us, have at it. The number to dial, 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. That's the number to call if you want to talk about the South Carolina game with as far as their matchups with what we talked about with the FPI. the funny one is where the 37% and Comrade goes, this is fucking stupid. That's probably my favorite one from the night. This one, we're fucking stupid. Yeah, good point there. Jonathan says, don't do it. Don't take calls. Kentucky triggers those bitches. Brock, you're a Gamecock. Okay. Comrade, are you in? Oh, God. Got people flirting with the Comrade over here in the thing. I don't want to read that message. Georgia fans are born telling people how great they are without much to show for it. Those are some fighting words there from Brock Lee. Cody says, I'd say Kale is right about the Kentucky game. Kentucky's a toss-up game for anyone except Georgia. Yeah, there you go with that. All right, anyway, take calls here, 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. If you'd like to join us on the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show this evening, I don't think there's any... There's so much stuff out there with that... I want to talk about the Big Ten on Sunday because I think that there's stuff going on behind the scenes about... Have you heard about this, Mike, where... It's like five schools are talking about, or six schools are talking about, hey, we're just going to break off and play each other. I don't think that's going to happen, but man, yeah, what a shit show.
I don't get the whole, we're going to cancel the season, but we're going to let you practice 12 hours a week. I don't understand that. That makes no sense. And listen, I don't, if it comes down, they cancel the season. The SEC, ACC, I mean, I understand that, but what are you doing to cancel the season but saying, oh, yeah, but you can still practice 12 hours? Well, either it's dangerous or it's not. I just don't quite get that. But
I mean, I don't know.
Personally, if you want to have football this year, I think you got to keep the kids off campus, online classes. I know it's a bad look because you're saying, well, the football, you know, we're going to be on campus. That's the only way of doing it because that way you have some of a bubble going on. I think the other way, I think it's going to be a shit show. But listen, I'm excited because point spreads are out now. It's for the first time in a while, I feel like we're going to have football. Because for a long time, I said, there's no way I'm having football. I feel like we may have it. I'm not sure it's going to go the whole way. I'm starting to get kind of excited and starting to feel optimistic about it, which is I'm afraid to feel that way because that's when usually the bad news comes. I'm still optimistic right now. We'll see.
All right. Well, Final call for calls this evening, 803-470-2905. Yeah, if you want to call in, I want to talk to Cale about what he said. I'm looking at, Tim says, so are you saying the players are actually employees? You want to handle that question there, Mike? That's with you, brother. You want to answer Tim's question there? I think I know how you feel about this. But go ahead.
That's the whole thing too. That's the whole thing too. The whole union, the Northwestern tried doing the whole union thing a couple of years ago.
And they got shot down.
My dad would assume was quote all that stuff. But they can't be a union because they're not employees. So that can't happen. They can have an association, I guess, but they can't really do that either because they're not employees. So no, you can't have that model going forward and all that stuff. So no, which is why it's a little bit trickier than it is for the professional leagues to kind of pull this off during a pandemic. But maybe college football can do it. I'm hoping, because that's going to suck balls with nothing new on Saturday.
Brock says, Brock asked me, how many wins do I think South Carolina will get? I think that when I look at the schedule, I think they're better than Missouri. I think they're better than Vanderbilt. I give you those two wins. I think the Tennessee game will be close, and it could go either way. I don't know about Ole Miss on the road, so me personally, I think best case scenario for the Gamecocks is 4 wins, but I'd feel comfortable with 2, maybe 3. But I think the absolute ceiling for this team is 4 wins. He asked me the question, sir, and that's what I'm answering.
I know, but I want to throw this to Brock. I want to throw it to Brock's the same page. My feeling is this: the minimum that they need to this year. Okay, now first of all, Marshall's not getting fired because the whole COVID and the whole finances. Less a boost that stuff. Have to win 4 games. I think 4 games is the minimum. I'm not saying to celebrate 4 wins, but 4 wins you can say, you know what? 4-6, okay. And depending on how we play in other games too, if we're competitive, 4-6, you gotta say I accept it. I think 5-5. The goal should be when 5-5 is the goal. 6-4 is if we get a couple of breaks here and there and play well is good. Anything beyond 6, I'm gonna build a Will Muschamp statue in my fucking front yard. Okay? So 4-6 is the minimum. 5-5 should be the goal. 4 is a really good season. Anything over than 6 is kind of, you know, won't happen. But yeah. So the idea of saying we'll get 4 wins, we might get 4 wins. It's dumb. That's just dumb, Rob.
But see, look, and I'm being as real as I can with you here. Explain to me how it's dumb.
I'm not saying we won't go for it, but to say that we might get the 4-6 is dumb.
Now, all right, well, explain to me why that's dumb. I mean, realistically, tell me what you have, not what you assume.
Realistically.
No, you can't answer the question. That's the problem.
Okay, there are 5 games in the schedule, okay? Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss. The Gamecocks better go 4-1 at the worst to get those 5 games. Okay? If they don't go 4-1 those 5 games, that's a problem. All right? I would give them 1 loss to them. That's not even count Vanderbilt. Okay, Vanderbilt's a win. Saying is, the other 4 games, they have to go 3-1.
Okay.
Tennessee, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Missouri. Okay? They gotta go 3-1 there. Okay? And I think if they don't do that, then something is really wrong. All right?
But
that's the minimum, 4-6. Now,
can they
knock off a Florida? Can they go 3-1 in those games and knock off a Florida or knock off an Auburn or knock off an A&M? I think they can win one of those games. That brings you to 5-5. Okay? And then, you know, I think everything else is a little bit out of range.
The problem that's
how you get to 5-5 is a good thing.
And I'm not trying to fight with you, but the problem that I have with seeing you talking about 5-5 and going 4-1 in that set and all of that is that you, all you want to tell me is things that you can absolutely assume. Things like Mike Bobo's offense works, where in reality, Mike Bobo hasn't had a really good offense in a while as a head coach. When he was up at Colorado State, their offense was pretty shitty. You're banking on Marshawn Lloyd, a guy that was in high school last year. You're banking on him.
Actually, it wasn't.
Okay. Well, but, I mean, the only sure things that you have with South Carolina are J.C. Horn and Israele Ukwamu. Those are the only two real sure things that you have. And you're telling me that that's going to get you fucking 5 wins? Come on, Mike. And you tell me that it's stupid for me to think that you're going to win 4?
I'm saying 4 is the minimum, okay? I'm saying 5.
No, but you said I'm stupid for thinking that you winning 4 is the ceiling. That's what you said.
You're stupid. Yeah, you are. We're saying 4 wins is the ceiling is dumb.
Really?
I'm sorry.
But you can't tell me why.
Once again,
you can't tell me why. You can't tell me why.
If we go 4-6, there isn't anything to really celebrate. At the same time, it also depends how you play the games, too.
But
okay?
Once again, notice he's just going to keep running his mouth. He can't tell us why. I can give you facts, but he can't tell us why they're going 5-5.
If they go 4-6 and get blown out in their 6 losses, that's not good. Mm-hmm. If they go 4-6, have a bunch of close losses, that's a little bit better, okay? 5-5. It's a goal, good season, 6-4, really good. So, yeah, by the way, Missouri, we're better than. I'm sorry, we are.
I said you're not better than Kentucky.
Vanderbilt.
I gave you Missouri, and I gave you Vanderbilt. What the fuck else do you want?
Okay, and Ole Miss.
On paper, you're better than they are. Yeah, you win those games. I give you those 3. I don't know about the 4th one, though. I really don't.
Well, the fact you think we're going to lose to Tennessee, Kentucky, and what's the other game?
I think you lose to LSU. Well, see, you're talking all this stuff about, oh, we might be able to compete with Florida. You can't compete with fucking Florida. You lost your mind.
We compete with Florida for 2 years.
You lost, Mike. Your coach bitched like a fucking child for weeks about the officiating in that game.
The last two years, we were in the Florida game.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a big stress. We can't beat Florida. I'm not predicting we're gonna beat them, but the Saints are like, oh, it's no way. LSU, we can't beat this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. Unless something crazy happens. I don't think we beat Georgia this year unless something crazy happens. Okay. Those games are not gonna happen. All right. Auburn, A&M, and Florida. We can maybe win one of those 3 games. I think we'll be in all 3 of those games. It's a question of playing well, executing, all that stuff. Win one of those 3 games. The Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Ole Miss games there, we have to go 3-1. I think we should go 3-1. We should expect to go at least 3-1. And maybe we'll go 4-0 in those. Okay? I think we're better than all 4 of those teams, to be honest with you. I think we're better. Because we're not all 4, because if you don't play well, they play well, you can lose the game. But I think we're better on paper than all 4 of those teams. What makes you better than all four of those teams?
What makes you better?
We got a better team. Better talent.
What do you have that's better?
Better coaching.
Okay, you better get the fuck out of here. Holy shit. Kale, do you want to comment on this,
like,
or are you done?
I like our line this year. I like our quarterback depth this year. I like the fact that we have our new offensive coordinator. I like our quarterback coach this year, okay, with Joe Cox. I think our offense will be much better this year. I think because Bobo's there and because Bobo's got experience, I think Muschamp will leave him alone. I don't think Muschamp will do anything with the offense this year. No little suggestions, no little, hey, let's do this, like he did with McClendon. I think he'll leave Bobo alone. That right there makes us better. So that's my feeling.
Okay, well, you don't
Tennessee's
have...
Good. Tennessee's lost a lot this year. Tennessee lost their best players from last year's team. Tennessee is
they
a
lost
fraud.
The... Okay.
They're being acted up like crazy.
Sure.
Like, they're overrated as hell.
You haven't told me about any of the players you have that are worth a shit, but okay. Okay, whatever.
I told you. We got depth of quarterback.
Depth of quarterback.
Helinski is a year older.
They haven't named a number two at the quarterback position, by the way.
Okay.
You have no wide receivers. So, you're hoping a freshman running back is going to carry you, but okay.
We got a deep running back too. So
no, you don't.
That's a fresh running back. I think he's going to be special.
Oh, my God.
Denson, Kevin Harris.
Denson?
Okay.
Did you just say Denson?
Did you just say Denson?
I think Denson graduated.
I think they're going to be good. I'm not Denson.
You don't even know who the fuck is on your goddamn roster.
I'm thinking with Kevin Harris and Lloyd, they'll be fine.
Okay. Why don't you...
Fenwick coming back. I met Fenwick. All O-line, they'll be good.
Okay, whatever.
We're going to run the ball this year.
I love how you think that Muschamp's going to stop fucking meddling with the offense when he's meddled every fucking year.
I don't think he will, because he's got an experienced OC. He's a friend. I think the whole idea that Bobo taking over, I don't think Muschamp feels he has to now. I think
Muschamp would
left.
Kale.
Bobo's offense.
Okay. Kale, are you okay? Kale, you all right?
Vote for life.
Fuck it.
Oh, well. That, what a good way to end the show.